B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Irvin Daf Nun Aleph. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Omud Beis, where the Gemara quotes a section of our Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Omud Beis. We saw in our Mishnah that even if a person is stranded, he's far away, and he cannot actually reach the place that he wants to make the Eruv, he wants to acquire his residence for Tchum purposes, when Shabbos comes in, he can actually, from far, he can say, I would like to designate my place in a specific designated place, and the Eruv is valid. Omar Shvisosi B'ikro, if somebody says, I want my residence to be at the trunk, a very defined place of a specific defined tree, Mahalech Mimokim Raglov V'ad Ikro, he can then travel from where he is at the onset of Shabbos until the bark of that tree, Alpaim Amma, 2000 Amma, Umi Ikroi Lebeisoi, and he can go from the tree to his home, an additional Alpaim Amma, Nimtza Mahalich Mishechashecho, Dalad Alofim Amma, and then it turns out that he can actually travel after Shabbos comes in 4000 Amois, and the reason is because before Shabbos came in, he designated his center of residence to be 2000 Amois away at the bark of a specific defined tree. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, V'hu d'chirohi t'li'ikroi moti. This is only true, that means it's only true that you can make an Eruv without being there and without sending some bread to represent him there, only if potentially, if he would run to that place, to that designated place where the Eruv is going to be valid, he would have reached there before dark, before Shabbos. Omar le'Abaye, Abaye asked Rava, how can that be? V'hachosh chaloi k'toni. The Mishnah is talking about a case where chosh chaloi, where it was becoming dark too quickly for him to arrive at his destination, and it's only because of that that he has to, from far, designate his place of residence by defining a specific tree 2,000 amis away from him to be the center of his residence. And now you say that he could reach there? Answers Rava, you're right, it was getting dark and he was not going to arrive at his destination. He wasn't going to arrive at his home 4,000 amis away, there's no way he could get there. However, to reach the 2,000 amma mark, which is halfway, that if you would run, to be able to reach the trunk of the tree, the motzi ozil, if he would run, he would get there. And since potentially he could reach the trunk of the tree before Shabbos comes in, even if he doesn't run, the Eruv is valid. Ikad Omra, a different version of Rava. Omar Rava, Chosh Choloi. When it says in the Mishnah that it was getting dark and he was not going to reach his home before the onset of Shabbos, Ki Mazgi Kali Kali. It was getting dark and it was too late for him to reach his home if he were to travel slowly. Aval Royit Moti. But if he were to reach the trunk of the tree, he doesn't have to reach his home, but if he were to reach the trunk of the tree, if he were to walk fast before Shabbos came in, he would manage to reach it. In that case, he's allowed to designate that place even if he's not there. And according to both versions of Rava, he has to be able to reach the place of his Eruv, the trunk of the tree, if he were to run before the onset of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi and Rav Yosef have a ka'ozlu ba'urcha. Rabbi and Rav Yosef were traveling on the road. It was late Friday afternoon. Omale Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, we're not going to make it home on time. Teheshvi saseinu tusei diklo de sovil achua. There's a specific palm tree, and the way it was defined, it was that its neighboring palm tree was supported by it. And that was just a way of defining which palm tree they were referring to. Let our Eruv, let our place of residence be considered at the trunk of that palm tree. V'omrila, others say that Rabbi said, Tuse diklo de porik mori mikargo. Which date palm did they define to be their Eruv? Was the one who has so many fruits that when they would actually take those fruits down and sell them, there was enough there in order to pay off their taxes. So the Gemara continues, Yoda Leimar, Rabba asked Rav Yosef, do you know of that particular tree that I think that we should designate to be our Eruv? Omar Le, lo yodano, Rav Yosef said to Rabba, I'm not aware of such a tree. Omar Le, so Rabba said to Rav Yosef, smoich alai, you could rely on me. And we saw this previously, that if you have two people together and only one of them know where a specific point 2,000 amis away is defined, then that one person can make the Eruv on behalf of both of them. D'tanya, he told him, it's okay, we learnt in a brisa. Rabbi Yosi Omer, he said it in the name of Rabbi Yosi, we'll soon see that was not accurate, he only said it in order that he should accept his words. But the brisa did say, im hayu shnayim, if there were two people together on the road, echod makir ve'echod she'enei makir, one of them recognizes a defined landmark and the other one doesn't, the one that does not recognize a landmark, he can, so to speak, assign his residence to the person who does know and recognize the landmark. And the one that does recognize the landmark, he should say, our residence for Shabbos should be at that specific defined place, and then that is valid for both of them. And the Gemara says, Veloihi, even though the Braisa says it, it's not correct that the Braisa said it in the name of Rabbi Yosi. Veloitono leik Rabbi Yosi, and Rabba only said to Rabbi Yosef that it was Rabbi Yosi, Elo kehechad lekabile minei, in order that Rabbi Yosef should accept his ruling from him. Mishum de Rabbi Yosi nimukai imoi. The ruling was almost always like Rabbi Yosi, because he always had good reasons to back up his position. And Rabba wanted Rabbi Yosef to accept that he could make the Eruv on behalf of both of them, he told them that it was halacha from Rabbi Yosi. In actual fact, it was just a simple brisa, not in the name of Rabbi Yosi, but either way, that's how they ruled. Continues the Gemara. Im einoi makir, oi she'einoi boki, v'chulu. So we saw in the Mishnah that if they do not know of any particular landmark, or they are not familiar with this halacha, that if you do know of a landmark, even though you're not there and you're not sending bread there, you can actually define it as being your place of residence for Shabbos, then they just make their feet, so to speak, where they are now, the entrance of Shabbos. When Shabbos comes in, this is their place of residence, and then they can walk 2,000 amis from where they are when Shabbos comes in. Asks the Gemara a question that we would have thought should have been asked a long time ago. Hani alpayim amo heichon ksivon. You're talking about being allowed to go 2,000 amos tchum on Shabbos. Do you have a posuk to that effect? Where do you get this idea of 2,000 amos from? Says the Gemara de Tanya. We learnt in a brisa, and the brisa says as follows. Shvu ish tachtov. The posuk says that the Klal Yisrael were told that on Shabbos they should not go out and bring the mon from outside into the camps. Every person should sit in his place. And we've already discussed on Daf Mem Ches that this place is referring to not being able to carry four amos in Rosh Hashanah. This is the source, and we saw there where we see from the word tachtov four amos. Elu arba amos. Al yetzei ish memekoymoi. The next words in the pasuk are, let no man leave his place. Al yetzei ish memekoymoi. And from there we see, elu alpayim amo. That refers to 2,000 amos. Where is the mekoymoi? Where is the place of a person that he's not allowed to leave there? Nothing to do with carrying. He's not allowed to leave his place on Shabbos. It's 2,000 amos. And now the Gemara is going to explain, where do we see from the word memekoymoi that it means 2,000 amos? Minolon, where is alluded to in the word mekoymoi 2,000 amos? Omer of Chizda. Rav Chizda is going to say a short phrase, extremely cryptic, but if you learn Rashi, you see how amazing, what an amazing tapestry Rav Chizda is presenting to us, and how the Torah Shebaal Peh works with the Torah Shebichtav. Omer of Chizda, lomadnu mokoim mimokoim. That means the pasuk says al yetzei ish mimokoimoi, and there's another place that uses the word mokoim. The pasuk says v'samti lecha mokoim asher yonus shomo. A different pasuk referring to the Ori Miklot, where somebody who by mistake murdered somebody else can run to that place. And we learn that Mokim, as in Al Yetze Ish Mimakoimoi, is in a similar type of context to the Mokim said with Ori Miklot. But there's something very unique about the Mokim that it says by Ori Miklot, and we're going to actually copy that to the Mokoimoi that it says by Shabbos. When it says in the Pasuk, V'samti l'cha mokoim, it says, Asher Yonus Shomo. It says the word Yonus, to run away, to flee. So you see that mokoim is associated with fleeing. Mokoim minisa. The word nisa, mokoim asher Yonus Shomo. So we know that mokoim is associated to Yonus. What do we know from Yonus? Let's take another pasuk that speaks about fleeing. V'nisa minisa. It says in the pasuk, Migvul ir miklotoi asher Yonus. Another pasuk of ir miklot speaks about Yonus. We learn v'nisa minisa, but in that second pasuk of nisa, it says migvul. It adds in the word border. V'nisa migvul. We compare or we associate nisa fleeing with the border. Ugvul migvul. Let's find another pasuk that speaks about gvul. The pasuk says, Umotza oisoi goyel hadom michutz ligvul. So we find another pasuk that speaks about the gvul. That's ugvul migvul. But in that pasuk, in that second pasuk that mentions border, it says michutz ligvul, from outside, from beyond the gvul. Ugvul michutz, v'chutz michutz. Now we're going to find another pasuk that speaks about the definition of chutz, and once we know what the definition of chutz is, we'll know how to define gvul, and then we'll know how to define yonus, and then we'll know how to define mokim, and then we'll know how far you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos. V'chutz michutz. We learn out a pasuk, another pasuk that mentions chutz. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, Umadoisem, and you shall measure michutz leir, from outside the city, es pa'as kedma. This pa'as, it normally means the east side. Pa'as means a side. We'll soon see it also means a corner, but it means a side. Alpayim ba'amo, 2,000 amois. So you see here clearly that the pasuk says umadoisem michutz leir, and it mentions explicitly 2,000 amois. So you see that chutz means 2,000 amos, so gvul means 2,000 amos, so yonus means 2,000 amos, so mokim means 2,000 amos. Back to our first pasuk, al yetze ish mimakoimoi, is 2,000 amos. Asks the Gemara, if you've worked out mokim to nisa, and nisa to gvul, and gvul to chutz, and you've found a pasuk that chutz is 2,000 amos. Well, I have another pasuk that says chutz, which is only 1,000 amos. Maybe that going out of the tchum is you're only allowed 1,000 amos. V'neiluf, why don't you learn it from a different pasuk? Mikir ha'ir, from the wall of the city, v'chutza, and outwards, elef amo, only 1,000 amo. So you see that chutz, outwards, is only 1,000 amo. Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Donin chutz michutz. In the first pasuk, we mentioned michutz ligvul. That was the pasuk that associated gvul, the borders, with chutz. And the next pasuk was umadoisem michutz. They both say chutz. So we learn one from the other. Ve'ein donin chutz michutza. But michutz ligvul, we're not going to learn from the pasuk that says the second pasuk, michutz mikir ha'ir v'chutza. Chutza and chutz is not the same word. And therefore, we do not learn the Gzeirah Shava. Asks the Gemara, my nafkimina, what's the difference? Chutz or chutzah, as long as the intentions are the same, as long as the meaning is the same, we can still make the Gzeirah Shava. Do we not find Atonu Debei Rabbi Shmuel, v'shav ha-kohen? In one pasuk it says that the kohen should return. Uba ha-kohen, in another pasuk it says the kohen will come. Zuhi shiva, zuhi bia. That coming and returning have the same connotation, the same meaning, that he should come and see the tzoras. That's the context over there. So you see that it doesn't matter if it's not the same word, as long as the meaning is the same, you can still make the gzeirah shava. So here too, why do we not compare the chutz ligvul to the pasuk of Mikir ha'ir v'chutza. And then you'll learn that Tchum Shabbos is only 1,000 amis. Answers the Gemara, Hanemili hecha deleka midi de domile. If you don't have a gzera shava to make with the same words, then you can use a similar word or a word with a similar meaning. Aval hecha deika midi de domile, but if you have a word which is identical, like here you have michutz legvul and you have michutz leir, and it mentions explicitly alpaim amma, 2,000 amma, medomile yalfinon, then we learn the gzera shava from the word which is identical. Continues the Gemara, alpaim amo agulois. We saw in the Mishnah that the 2,000 amos are measured round. It's a circular area. That's the opinion of Rav Chanina ben Antignois. And we saw in the Mishnah that the Chachomim argue and say that it's actually a square of 2,000 amos, and that gives the corners an extra 800 plus amos. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Antignois. We just saw in the Mishnah it says that Rav Chanina ben Antignois say that the 2,000 amos are measured in a circular, measured round. What's the source of 2,000 amos? We just now learnt it. It's from the pasuk Umadoyse Michutz La'ir El Pa'as Kedmo Alpaim Ba'amo. We just now learned that. And over there we're talking about the camps, and there pa'as, the word pa'as means a corner. So it's explicit that the very source from which we learn 2,000 amos explicitly says that it's square, not circle. V'Rav Chanina ben Antignois manavshech. Either way you look at it, it's going to be a question. I isle gzera shava. If he holds of this gzera shava that we saw from Rav Chisda, pe'os ksivon. Corners are explicitly mentioned. So why do you say that the tchum is round? V'i lesle gzera shava, if you do not hold of this gzera shava that we saw, alpaim amo minole, well then what's your source at all that the tchum of Shabbos is 2,000 amos? Answers the Gemara, la'olam isle gzera shava. Of course, Rav Chanina ben Antignois learns there is the gzera shava that we saw in the Gemara. However, v'shani hocha, but in the case of the tchum of Shabbos, it's different. Even though we're learning the distance, mekoymoy from Nisa and Nisa from Gvul and Gvul to Chutz and Chutz from that pasuk. However, there's something very different with Shabbos from that last pasuk that we're learning from. Why? Because what does it say in that pasuk? If you look at the end of that pasuk, the pasuk says, "Ze yielochem migroshe ha'orim," that the areas of the cities of Klal Yisrael are going to be the dimensions mentioned in that pasuk, and it says, "Ze," these are the dimensions for these cities. The question is, when it says the word "ze," does it mean this is an example for everywhere else, and the same way as this is square, so too everywhere else is square, or no? Does it mean that there's some certain specific attribute which is only there, it's only there to the exclusion of everywhere else, for example, Tchum Shabbos, even though the distance of 2,000 we learned from there, from this Gzera Shava, but the fact that there's corners, that's unique to the cities mentioned in this Pasuk. Da'omar Kro, v'zeh yelochem migroshe ha'orim. This will be for them the open areas of the cities. The word v'zeh, this, l'zeh atonoisin peis, only these areas around the cities that were actually dedicated for the Levim in the camps, they are the ones that have corners. V'i atonoisin peis, l'shev se Shabbos. But for those in Tchum Shabbos, who want to know how far they can, those who are Shomer Shabbos, those who rest on Shabbos, you want to know how far they're not allowed to go out, there we do not give them corners. And that's what Chanina ben Antignois says in the Mishnah, that it's round and they do not have corners. Asks the Gemara v'Rabbonon. We saw in the Mishnah that according to the Chachomim, the even Tchum Shabbos is square. And if Tchum Shabbos is square, did we not just see in the Pasuk, v'zeh yelohem lohem migrashe orim, that it's unique only to the areas around the cities of the Levim? V'Rabbonon, Toni Rev Chananya Oimir. They learnt in a brisa in the name of Rav Chananya, Kazeye Kol Shevse Shabbos. They see in the word Ze as an example to all the other lochas of Shabbos. Kazeh, in the same way as these areas around the cities of the Levim were square, so too Kol Shevse Shabbos, all the other lochas of observing Shabbos, of resting on Shabbos, they're all square and not round. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Acha bar Yaakov, Hamavir arba amis b'rshus harabim. We know there's an issa of transferring something for amis in rshus harabim. It's true that we talk about four amis, but here we're talking about that we just said now, according to the Chachamim, all the halachas of Shabbos, we assume they have corners. So even though carrying four amis is not something which is a square, it's not an area, it's a distance, nonetheless, it's a type of distance which is the diagonal of a square of four amis, which is 5.6 amis. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says you're only going to be chayev if you carry an Roshos HaRabim, if you went 4 amis, but not 4 amis straight, rather 4 amis in the length. I don't mean straight as in the zigzag, but the distance, not of a regular 4 amis, but the diagonal of a 4 amis square, which is 5.6, approximately 5.6 amis. That is the distance that you have to carry something in order to be chayev on Shabbos. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa said, Bodiklon Rava. At one point, Rava tried to test us, to test our knowledge, and he asked us the following question. Amud b'Roshos HaRabim, a post that's standing in Roshos HaRabim, Gvoya Asara, if it's 10 tfachim high, V'rochav Arba, and it's 4 tfachim wide, that's a Roshos HaYochid. Tzorich Hein V'Alachsoinon, Oiloi. Rav Papa said that Rava asked them, this pole, which is standing in Roshos HaRabim, which has to be 10 high and 4 wide, doesn't mean, like, according to Rashi, it seems that the question was, if this pole is a circle with a diameter of 4 tfachim, is that a Roshos HaRabim? Is that Roshos HaYochid or not? That means, does the area, or do the dimensions of this pole have to be 4 tfachim, or do they have to be 4 tfachim with a diagonal? Which means that a square of 4x4 with a diagonal of 5.6, that has to be at least that big. And if it's a circle, it has to be a circle that can contain that type of square. Torich hein v'alach soinon, that was the question. V'omrinon le, Rav Papa says that we answer to Rava, lav hainu d'Rav Chananya? Is this not what Rav Chananya said in a braisa de Tanya, Rav Chananya oimer, k'zeh yu kol shev se Shabbos, all the halachas of Shabbos, are with corners, and therefore it's only Roshos HaYochid if it can form a square which is 4x4 with a diagonal of 5.6. Continues the Gemara. V'zehu she'omru he'oni ma'oriv baraglov, omer ab'meya onu ein lonu elo oni v'chulu. Before we start learning the next Gemara, we have to get back to our Mishnah on Daf Nuntes Omid Beis. The Mishnah is actually split into 6 sections. The first section was, if a person says, I'm not going to manage to get to my place, it was too dark, I'm not going to get to the place which is 2,000 amis away from where we are now and away from our home, which the home is 4,000 amis away, we want to, virtually speaking, without going there, without being there, without sending bread there, we want to designate a defined place to be the Eruv. So if a person has a very distinct defined place and he says, I want my shvisa, my residence, to be there, it's valid. That was halacha number 1 in the Mishnah. Now, does everybody agree with that? Is it always true? We didn't see at the beginning of the Mishnah, we didn't see any differentiation. We just saw that was the halacha. We're going to see soon, in stage 4 and 5 in the Mishnah, we're going to see a machloikas tanoim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. We have to see, is that machloikas associated to this halacha, to this stage of the Mishnah? But either way, this was stage 1 of the Mishnah. Stage 2 of the Mishnah is if a person, either he's not aware of such a specific defined landmark, or he's not aware of the halacha that if he were aware of such a landmark, he can verbally express his desire to acquire residence there. And then he says, I want my present place to be residence, where I am. He's got no food with him, but he says, my feet, where I am, this should be my Eruv. The Mishnah says that it's a valid Eruv, then he can go 2,000 amis from where he is when Shabbos comes in. And the Mishnah doesn't make much of a difference. The Mishnah says that that works. Does everybody agree with that? Is it always true? Again, we're going to have to see soon whether the machlokas in stage 4 and 5 in the Mishnah, which is a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says that it works only for a poor man, Rabbi Yehuda says even for a rich man, does that possibly apply to this stage 2 of the Mishnah? We'll soon see. What's stage 3 of the Mishnah? An ambiguous type of comment, where the Mishnah just says, "Zeu she'omru," this is what the Chachomim said, that for a poor person can make an Eruv like this. Is this referring to case number 1 in the Mishnah, where he wants to make an Eruv where he's not present at the time? Is it referring to stage number 2 in the Mishnah, where he's actually present at the time and it only works for a poor man? We'll have to see. The Mishnah doesn't make it clear. That stage 4 and 5 in the Mishnah is a machlokes. Rab Meir says that a specific case, the Mishnah doesn't tell us what, is only works for an Oni. They allowed an Oni to make an Eruv without bread. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, no, even a rich man is allowed to make an Eruv by being there, or we'll soon see exactly what case, but without needing bread. We only allowed him to use bread. If somebody's got bread and he has an agent to send bread to represent him, that's also a kosher Eruv. But not that we need the bread. Rabbi Yehuda holds the main Eruv is not with using bread, it's by being there. However, Rabbi Meir argues and says, no, the main part of an Eruv is by using bread. And only for a poor man, they allowed him not to use bread. And they allowed him, we'll soon see exactly what they did allow him. And it's not so clear, as we said before, this machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, is it referring to case 1 in the Mishnah, where the person is trying to make an Eruv when he's not there, from afar, or is it applying to case 2 in the Mishnah, where he's actually there himself, he just doesn't have any bread? That was stage 4 and 5 of the Mishnah. Stage 6 in the Mishnah is a comment which seems to be Rabbi Yehuda, but maybe not accurate, we'll soon see, that it says that the only reason that they established that, or they allowed to be able to use bread for an Eruv is just to make it easier for a rich man who has bread and can send an agent with the bread and save him the bother of having to go to the place of residence when Shabbos comes in. However, if somebody wants to make an Eruv in person, of course he can make the Eruv in person, and the main part of the Eruv is when you're there in person, not by sending bread. Those are the 6 stages in the Mishnah. And the Gemara is now going to discuss that at length. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman. We're going to see a machlokes of Nachman and Rav Chisda. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, machlokes b'mekoimi. The machlokes of in stage 4 and 5 of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Meir says only a poor man can make an Eruv using his feet, not using bread. And Rabbi Yehuda said that even a rich man is allowed to make an Eruv using his feet. That is the machlokes is in stage 2 of the Mishnah. B'mekoimi, when the person wants to make an Eruv where he is now, and he doesn't have bread, then Rabbi Meir says you can only do that if you're a poor man, because the main Eruv is with bread. If you're a poor man, you don't have bread, we let you make an Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda says even a rich man is allowed to make an Eruv without bread. Machlekes b'mekoimi, Rabbi Meir sovar, Rabbi Meir holds, Iker Eruv b'pas, the main part of the Eruv is using bread, and therefore Rabbi Meir said that only if you're a poor man, on Yehuda kilu rabbonon ilavei, the Chachomim were lenient for a poor man to allow him to make an Eruv even without bread, even if he's just there in person without bread. Aval osher loy, but a wealthy person who's got bread has to have bread to make an Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda sova, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ika Eruv beregel. Rabbi Yehuda says the main Eruv is to be there in person with your feet and not to use bread. Echod oni ve'echod oshir. And therefore, irrespective of whether he's a poor man or a wealthy man, he can make an Eruv without bread. Aval b'mokim ployni, in case number 1 in the Mishnah, where he's not there, nor is his bread there. He's just verbally saying that he wants to acquire residence in some defined place, 2,000 amis away. Divrei hakel oni in osher loy. Everybody agrees that it's something we only allow a poor man to do. A rich man cannot resort to making an eruv if neither he nor his bread are there. That was the opinion of Rav Nachman. V'zui she'omru, and stage three of the Mishnah, that says that we made a special leniency for a poor man to be able to make an eruv with his feet and not to use bread. Man k'toni lo. Who is this following? Reb Meir. It must be that it's referring to Reb Meir, where Reb Meir says that the main part of the eruv is to use bread, and it's a special leniency for poor people to be able to make an eruv without bread, to be able to just be there in person, even if he doesn't have bread. V'ahaykoi, and which case in the Mishnah is this referring to? A'enoi makir oy enoi boki b'halocha. It's referring to stage two, where he doesn't know that he can make an eruv in the distance when he or his bread is not there, and he's actually making the eruv where he is here and now, and he's making the eruv with his feet. I'm here now, b'mekoimi, I want to be koine shvisa, I want to acquire residence here, even though he's not using bread. This is what the Mishnah says, zeu she'omru, a special leniency for poor people, they don't need to use bread. Yes, this is Reb Meir in stage two of the Mishnah. And this is, we're all still in Rav Nachman, who says the machloikas, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, is in stage two of the Mishnah. So that's how the stage three of the Mishnah is understood that way. And v'lo omru ma'orvin b'pas elo lahokil. The final verse in the Mishnah, verse number six, that said that we made a special leniency for rich people to allow them to send their food, but the real way of making the eruv is not with food, it's by using one's feet, by being there in person. Who is that? Man k'toni lo, Rabbi Yehuda. It's obviously the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even a rich man is allowed to make an eruv b'mekoimoi, stage two of the Mishnah, even if he hasn't got bread, because it's only a kula leniency that he's allowed to use bread and send it with an agent. But of course, the main way of making the eruv is without using bread. Therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So stage three and six of the Mishnah, both going back on stage two in the Mishnah, that if he wants to make an eruv where he is, then Reb Meir says, if you don't have bread, only a poor man is allowed to do it. And that's what it says in stage three, Zeu she'omru, was a leniency for the poor people. Reb Yehuda says that even a rich man can do it, as it says in the last stage in the Mishnah, that it's the ability or the allowance to use bread was a leniency for rich people to make it easier for them. But of course, the main eruv is not the bread, like Reb Meir says, rather the feet, like Reb Yehuda says. That's the opinion of Rav Nachman. Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Chisda argues with Rav Nachman and has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Machleikas, the Machleikas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, which is stage 4 and 5 in the Mishnah, that Rav Meir says only poor people can make such an eruv without bread and rich people not. And Rav Yehuda says even rich people, is actually talking about where the person is not there, nor is his bread there. Is talking about stage case one in the Mishnah, where he's doing an eruv from far away. Machlekes b'mokim ployni, if somebody wants to declare his place of residence to be 2,000 amis away from where he or his food is. The Reb Meir Sova, Reb Meir says, only in osher loy, it's not a lekatchila way of making an eruv, and therefore we only allow a poor person to make such an eruv. Rabbi Yehuda Sova, Rabbi Yehuda says, Echod oni ve'echod osher, even a rich man is allowed to make such an eruv from far away. All referring to back to stage one in the Mishnah. Abel b'mekoimi, stage two, where the person's not making the eruv far away from him. He's making the eruv here and now where his feet are. Divrei hakel, echod oni ve'echod osher. Everybody agrees in stage two of the Mishnah, not like Rav Nachman says that it's a machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda whether a rich man can make such an eruv without bread. No. According to Rav Chisda, stage two of the Mishnah, which is where a person makes an eruv where he is now, Everybody agrees, even Rav Meir agrees, that even a rich man is allowed to make an Eruv there, because everybody agrees Iker Eruv is Beregel. The main way of making an Eruv is by being there in person. The Iker Eruv Beregel. Vazui Sha'amru. And phrase 3 in the Mishnah that says there's a special leniency that poor people can make an Eruv without bread. What's that talking about? That must be talking about stage 1, where he's not there in person, nor is he there with bread. So there's a special leniency for poor people. And it's not even his bread is there. Nothing is there. It's all from far. So it says that Vazui Sha'amru, this day it says that they made a special leniency for poor people, man ktonila. Who is it referring to? Rav Meir. It's obviously referring to Rav Meir. And in what case? V'hai koi. Which case is it referring to? Rav Chisda says, where's the machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? In stage 1, where he's not there in practice. Aha, mishabah baderech v'choshva. It's talking about the case 1 in the Mishnah, where he wants to make an Eruv far away from where he is now. In that case, Rav Meir said, and that's stage 3 of the Mishnah, where it's a special leniency they only made for poor people and not for the rich people. And the final phrase in the Mishnah that says that to be able to use bread is a special leniency they gave rich people who could afford to send bread with an agent. Who's that referring to? This day it says, "V'le'omru ma'arvin bepas elu lahokil man ktonila." Who is it? Divrei Hakoil. It's not a continuation of Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw in according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Chisda, it's according to everybody. It's talking about when a person is stage 2 of the Mishnah, where the person is there in person. So there we see that the last phrase of the Mishnah that says that using bread was a leniency, but the main way of making the Eruv was by being there in person. That's according to everybody, because we saw, according to Rav Chisda, everybody agrees that Iker Eruv is Beregel, is being there in person. And that is the opinion of Rav Chisda. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavaseidu Rav Nachman. We're going to now bring a Brisa that seems to say like Rav Nachman. Seems to learn like Rav Nachman. And it's because of this Braisa that the Halacha actually follows Rav Nachman, as we're going to see at the end of the Sugya. The Braisa says, Echod Oni ve'echod Oshir ma'arvin bepas. And the Braisa starts with the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds, and poor man and a rich man are allowed to use bread in order to make an Eruv. V'lo yeitze Oshir chutz letchum. And a rich man who wants to go outside the tchum and he wants to put his Eruv down, v'yoymar, and he says, shvisasi b'mekoymi, that I want, if a person goes himself in person to the end of the 2,000 amos, and he's there and he says, shvisasi b'mekoymi, where I am, where my feet are now, this is my place of residence, then he's allowed to say that. But it says, v'lo yetze oni, o osher chutz letchum, a rich man should not do this. Reb Meir says that going in person to make an Eruv, only a poor man should do that. A rich man, he should not go in person if he doesn't have bread. So this is clearly a Reb Meir who says that Echod Oni, Echod Osher, Ma'arvin Bepas, everybody says that even a rich man, even a poor man, they are allowed to make an Eruv with bread. But to make an Eruv without bread, just being there in person, only a poor man, not a rich man. This seems to follow Rav Nachman. The Rav Nachman says that Rav Meir says that stage 2 of the Mishnah, where he's there in person, according to Rav Meir, only a poor man is allowed to make an Eruv like that, because the Rav Meir says that the Iker Eruv is Bepas. However, a rich man shouldn't do that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Echod Oni ve'echod Ochshir Ma'orvin Beregel. Both a rich man and a poor man can make an Eruv by being there in person, not using bread. And this is clearly Rabbi Yehuda who says that the Iker Eruv is Beregel. Ve'yetze Osher Chutz Litchum. And the rich man is allowed to go in person to the place at the edge of the tchum and say, I want this to be my Eruv, even though he's got no bread. This is Rabbi Yehuda who says that a person who hasn't got bread, even a rich man, can make an Eruv that way, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Iker Eruv is Beregel. This is exactly the opinion of Rav Nachman's understanding of the Machlekas, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Vazui ikrei shel eruv. This is the essence of an eruv, is to go in person. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Ikka eruv is beregel. We saw, according to Rav Chisda, everybody agrees ikka eruv is beregel, and the whole machlekas is if you're not there in person and you're not sending bread, you're just doing it from far. But here you see clearly in the Brisa that the machlekas is about going in person. Rav Meir says going in person is not the essence of an Eruv. Rabbi Yehuda says it is. That's exactly Rav Nachman's understanding of the Machlekas. V'itiru chachomim lebal habayis lishleach eruvoi. It was a special... Rabbi Yehuda says that everybody says being in person is the essence of an Eruv, but the chachomim allowed a homeowner, bal habayis, lishleach eruvoi, to send some food to represent him, biyad avdoi, in the hands of his slave, biad benoy, biad shluchoy, with his son, with an agent, bishvil hoki lalov, to make it easier for him, as we saw in section 6 of the Mishnah, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even though Iker Eruv is beregel, you're allowed to also send food, you don't need to take the trouble of going there yourself. So here you have the Braisa, like Rav Nachman. Continues the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maise ba'anche beis memel. There was an incident involving the people of Beis Memel, or Ba'anshe Beis Gurion Ba'aroima, or the people of Beis Gurion, and it took place in a place called Aroima. Shahoyu Mechalkin Grey Grace with Tzimukin. They were distributing dried figs and raisins. La'aniim, to the poor people, B'shnei B'tzairis, in the years of famine. Uboin Aniye Kfar Shichin V'Aniye Kfar Chananya. And there were the poor people from the villages of Shichin and Chananya, they would also come, obviously they would make Eruv Tchumin, and they would come to this place of Aroima in order to be able to take from the distribution of these figs and raisins. Umachshichin ala tchum. Even though these villages of Shichin and Chananya, they were 4,000 amis away from Aroima, but these poor people themselves, they would come to the edge, they would come in person away from their villages, and then they would, their place of residence would be there, and on Shabbos they could walk the extra 2,000 amis to the place of Aroima. Umachshichin ala tchum, they would wait, they would be present at the border of the tchum when Shabbos came in. Lemachros mashkimin uboin, and the next day they would arise up and come to Aroima to collect their provisions. Now the Braisa made it clear that the people of these villages came in person. Now even though they were poor people, they clearly had food in their homes. Why didn't they establish an Eruv using their food? They were considered Ashirim, rich people, in this context that they had food with them. They could have brought food. Nonetheless, they came in person. So you see here again, proof to Rabbi Yehuda that one, even somebody who's got food, Ika Eruv Beregel, since they came on their own, they did not need to represent themselves with food. Continues the Gemara. Omer Vashi, Masnisin Nami Daika, we're also going to, there's proof from the next Mishnah, the Tur of Nachman. Diktoni, we learnt in the Mishnah, Mishe Yotzo Leilich Leir Shem Orvin Lo. If a person set out on Friday afternoon to go to a place that was 4,000 amis away from his original place, it was a place where one could make an Eruv 2,000 amis away from the original city to get there. But he went there, and he actually was planning on reaching his destination before Shabbos came. And he met some friends shortly after he left, and his friends told him that it's very hot, it's very cold, it's not worth going, don't set out on your travels now. And his friends turned him back. Hu mutar leilich, on Shabbos, he's on Shabbos allowed to go to that city of his destination, 4,000 amis away, v'chol b'nei o'ir asurin. But all the other people who are in his original city, who they also want to reach that other place, 4,000 amis away, they are not allowed to go on Shabbos. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Vahavinon bo, the Gemara asks, Maishno ihu or Maishno inhu? What's the difference between him that he started his travels and turned back, that he's allowed to go on Shabbos, but all the other townspeople are not allowed to go on Shabbos? Vomer Ravuna. Ravuna says, Hochet b'mayaskinon, we're talking about the following case. Kegoin sheyesh lo shnei botim. This particular person, he has two homes. Ushnei tchumei Shabbos b'neim. He has a home in his original town, and he also owns a home in the town 4,000 ames away. Ihu kiven denofkele l'urcha. He himself, when he set out to travel, and he intended reaching his home before Shabbos came in, and just his friends turned him back. Havile oni, we consider him as if he's a poor man, and therefore we allow him to verbally express that a defined place, 2,000 amis, that means midway between his home is in one place and the home in the other place, he can verbally express, I want that midway, that tree, that bench, that stone to be my place of residence. The Erev will be valid because he's considered a poor man, because he set out. He didn't initially set out in order to make an Erev in the middle. He actually set out in order to reach his destination. And therefore, he's considered, so to speak, a poor man. And therefore, we allow him to make an Eruv, even though he's not there in person, nor is his bread there. Vahanoch, but all the other townspeople, Ashirim Ninu, they are considered as if they are rich people. And for rich people, we say that you're not allowed to make an Eruv if you're not there in person, or your bread is not there, you cannot make such an Eruv. And this follows of Nachman, that Rav Nachman says that stage one in the Mishnah, where you want to make an Eruv far away, it's only for an Oni, for a poor man, not for a rich man. According to Rav Chisda, it's dependent on a Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir. Alma kol mokim ployni. So you see from here that whenever one wants to make an Eruv mokim ployni there, somewhere else, where the person is not there, his food is not there, only in Oshir Loi, only a poor man can make such an Eruv, not a rich man. Shma mino, from there you see clearly from that Mishnah, like Rav Nachman, that says that mokim ployni, which is case one in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that only a poor man can rely on such an Eruv. Continues the Gemara. Masni le Rav Chiya bar Ashi le Chiya bar Rav kamei de Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ashi was teaching the son of Rav. He was teaching Chiya the son of Rav kamei de Rav in the presence of Rav. He was teaching him echod oni veechod oshir, irrespective of whether he's a rich man or if he's a poor man, then he's allowed to make an eruv if he's there in person. And this is Rabbi Huda's opinion in the Mishnah. Omale Rav told this Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Sayim Beinami, when you finish teaching my son these halachas, add on halachah Rabbi Yehuda, make sure to tell him that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no difference between a poor man and a rich man. And Rashi adds on, the halacha is also like Rav Nachman, because we had a braisa like Rav Nachman before. So the halacha is like Rav Nachman, like Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Barav Chonon have a rogil de osi mi artivno le pumpadisa. Rabbi Barav Chonon would regularly travel from a place called Av Artivno to a place called Pumpadisa. Omar, and whilst he was still at home, he would say, Tehei shvisosi betzinto. I would like my place of residence to be in a place of tzinto, which is in between the two places, in between where he was setting out from to the place that he was going. Omale Abaya. So Abaya asked Rabbi Bar Rav Chonon, Mai daitich? What's your reasoning to allow you to make an Eruv from far? Rav Meir v'Rav Yehuda, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. You know the halacha, when you have a machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. V'Omer Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda said, machlekes b'mokim ployni. Rav Chisda said that in such a case, stage one in the Mishnah, where you want to make an Eruv from far, it was Rav Chisda who said that it was a machlekes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. And indeed, even a rich man like you can make an Eruv that way. V'horav Nachman, v'tanya kavosei, But do you not know that Rav Nachman argued with Rav Chisda? And we have a braisa like Rav Nachman, who he said that the machlokes was in stage two of the Mishnah, where he's there in presence himself. However, in the case where he's not there, stage one in the Mishnah, only a poor man is allowed to make an Eruv. So why are you making an Eruv like this? Omer le hadrabi, Rabbi Bar Chonon said to Abaya, you're right, I retract my ruling. From now on, I will not rule this way. And indeed, because he was not a poor man, he could not make an Eruv to a place far away. Continues the Gemara. Omer Romi Bar Choma, Hare Omru, Shovas, Yesh le Arba Amis. We know there's a halacha that anybody who's got a residence on Shabbos, he has a four amos around him. Besides for his tchum, if a person is in present and he says, I am here, now this is my place of residence when Shabbos comes in, he has four amos. Exactly how this four amos works, we've already seen previously. He's got four amos, and from beyond the four amos, he's got 2,000 amos. Yesh li arba amos. What happens if somebody sends some bread, some food to represent him? Do we say that the food area, the food itself, also has a, so to speak, four amis around it, and then 2,000 amis beyond those four amis? Yesh li arba amis oiloi? Or do we say no? Because where do we know four amis from? From tachtov, shvuish tachtov, that a person, underneath a person, is four amis, as we saw on Daf Memches. So maybe only if the person is there himself. But if he's sending food, there's no tachtov, there's no area under the food that takes four amis. Maybe he only gets 2,000 amis and not the four amis. Rav is bringing proof from a braisa, from the Mishnah, actually from our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Lo omru ma'orvin bepas elo lahokil ala oshish lo yetze v'oriv baraglov. The stage six, the last phrase in our Mishnah, was that they allowed to allow a person to make an Eruv with bread. That was a special leniency. A rich man who can afford bread and has an agent to put the bread out for him 2,000 amis away, to save him the bother of having to go there, it's an extra leniency for the rich man. Of course, the ideal way of making an Eruv is being there in person. But for a rich man, to save him that bother, the Chachomim allowed him to represent himself by sending food with an agent. So it's called Lahokil, to make it easier for the rich man. So the Gemara is saying, if you say that by going in person you have 2,004 amis, but sending bread you only have 2,000 amis, hi lahokil, have you made it easier for that person? Lahachmirhu, you've made it stricter for that person, you've given him four amis less distance. So it would seem from the Mishnah, from the fact that sending food makes it easier, that obviously he gets, the food itself gets four amis besides for the 2,000 amis. And the Gemara is going to reject this and say, no, afilo hocha nichale. It could be that the truth is the food does not get four amis. Nonetheless, he's made it easier for the rich man. It's true that he's lost four amis of distance, but he saved himself the bother of having to walk 2,000 amis and be in that place himself when Shabbos comes in. In order that he should not have to bother and go out to the place of the Eruv before the onset of Shabbos, that's already called making it easier, and there's no indication from there as to whether the food itself does or does not get four amis. In the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.